Paul basically says in so many words, everybody needs somebody, all right? And he says we're all called together, that God's design is the church. And the church is what is intended to house, to bring together those who have a commonality, a sense of an understanding of who Jesus Christ is and a relationship with him. You see, God said all through Scripture, and we see all through this particular writing, as Paul, remember, has taken us up already in the first three verses or first three chapters of the book, or of his letter. It's actually a letter. We talk about it as a book, but we got to remember this was originally written as a letter to the church at Ephesus and to other churches as well. And up to this point, Paul has been talking about how God has progressively revealed himself over time, how he has been continually showing himself, and the church itself has been revealed over time. And now Paul kind of shifts his focus. He shifts his focus from what God has been doing. And now in chapter 4, he begins with this, and he begins this in 4, 5, and 6. So as we continue through the book of Ephesians, you're going to find some very pointed passages that point directly to us in our everyday situations. And he begins with chapter 4 to say, okay, now that God has done this, this is what it means for you, and this is what it means to you. And he begins that in his chapter, and I want to read it real quickly with you, at least the first six verses, which we're going to focus on a little bit today and try to cover, like I said, next week, what we don't get done today. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me. If you don't, maybe you want to try to start bringing them with you as we go through this particular series. He says, therefore I, Paul, a prisoner of serving the Lord, or for serving the Lord. Now keep in mind, where is he writing this from? Where is he when he's writing the letter to the Ephesians? He's in prison, so he's literally a prisoner, all right? He's not just talking about some pretty word picture that says I'm a prisoner because I love God so much. He literally is a prisoner, and he does that in order to make sure that the people see him as one of them. He doesn't want to come at people from above. In other words, he doesn't want to be condescending in his writings and in his teachings to people, but rather he wants to show that he's on their level. Paul was a master at earning the right to be heard by others with his respect and with his authenticity. So he says, I beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. And he goes on to say in the next couple of verses, be humble and gentle, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. We are all one body. We have the same Spirit. We have all been called to the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there is only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. Let's real quickly see what we can cover, what we can get down with regard to what we can say about this calling. See, he grabs the attention of the individual, and he says to the individual, he says, you know, you have a calling. There is something on your life that's very important. Now, let me say real quickly before we get started, you do not have to be a pastor or a missionary to have a calling. All right? You do not have to be a pastor or a missionary to have a calling. Every one of you has a calling if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. See, the moment that you trust Him as your Savior, your calling just kind of goes into action. It's like there's an activation. You know, and I don't like talking about credit cards because they get more people in trouble than they benefit. But every time you begin to use one or a debit card, you got to do what? You got to call and activate it, all right? You activate your calling when you make a commitment to Jesus Christ to follow Him. And God says, okay, then your calling kind of gets into play. Things kind of begin to turn in motion, and that's what we're going to be talking about in the next couple of weeks. Now, a couple things about your calling. First of all, my calling is both common and unique. There is a common element to our calling that all of us have, and that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today and carry over into next week. There is an aspect of your calling that also is common to the person beside you. The person you said, I need you too, sound like a good name to name a band. But anyway, the person you said that to, all right, the person you said that to has, there are elements of their calling that is very similar to yours. That is, as a matter of fact, they're the same. They're the same. That's what we're going to talk about. You have a common element and a unique element. Now, let me say this. I really believe that in terms of calling, and if you don't get anything else today, get this. Until we get and we understand and we live out the common part of our calling, I don't believe we ever get around to understanding the unique part of our calling. Does that make sense? Because the common part of our calling has to do with the fact that God called the church. He created the church. And again, Paul's been writing about it right up until chapter 4. And he says, you know, he talks about how God developed the church. And now he says, this is what it means to you. He's going to go on in chapter 4 to describe to us what it means to be the church. And there is a togetherness. There is a commonality. There is a relationship building element or aspect to the church that Paul is trying to get across to us. And that is the common part of our calling. We are to coexist together as one body, as a team. Now, how many of you know people at work or in some voluntary organization that you have who are, they just run solo all the time? They're not team players. Do you know people like that? Now, some of y'all are people like that, more than likely, if the percentages kind of play out. But here's the point. The point is this. Until people learn how to be team players, they can never really fit in, can they? They can never really understand what it means to be an important part. And see, those people that are not team players, that just kind of make you mad sometimes, don't they? I mean, they're not really going to jump up and say, hey, I'll help you get this done so that you can get away early this afternoon so you can take your kid to the doctor. You know, it's those kind of people you just want to kind of slap sometimes, right? They're there. But I believe that one of the messages in this particular passage is this. Until we get the idea of what our common calling is together, we're not going to be able to really experience the joy and the fulfillment of our unique calling. Because there is a common part, there's a corporate part of our calling that all of us share together as a team. And then there's a unique part of the calling. There's something specific, unique that God has for us. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the next few weeks, that unique calling. But real quickly, let's get what we can down with regard to this unique this common calling for a moment. My calling is to a higher standard of integrity and accountability. That's the second thing about this corporate calling, about this calling that we have on our lives. My calling, because it is from who? It is from, who's it from? This is not a trick question. It's from God, all right? It's from God. Because it's from God, I have a high standard. The calling gives me, or it is to a higher standard of integrity and accountability. Now, let me give you a couple of real quick, easy definitions for integrity and accountability. Integrity is all about who you are when nobody's watching. That's what it is. Integrity, if you are a person of integrity if you strive for Christ-likeness when nobody's watching or when nobody knows what's going on. That's a life of integrity. You see, we can all come to church on Sunday morning. We can go to work tomorrow. We can go to the ball field or whatever we do, and we can act like we have integrity. But the real tale of the tape with integrity is what goes on in our lives when nobody's watching. It's what we're thinking. It's what we're saying. It's what we're doing. It's how we're treating our wife, our husband, our children, when nobody's watching. Accountability has to do with the fact that all that stuff, that life of integrity, you know what? I'm responsible to other people for that. Even though Rich McSparren may not be around when I'm living my life and nobody's watching, I'm still responsible to him as one of my colleagues, as one of my elders to do what? I'm responsible to him to live that life of integrity. And you know what? If I have real accountability, Rich has every right to come up to me and says, Bud, what's going on in your private life? I really believe that's part of the common calling that God has on our lives. That's what he wants the church to be. And you know what? The other side of that, I don't have a problem with letting Rich know what's going on, even if I faltered a little bit. Because that's what the church is supposed to be. Our calling is to a higher standard of integrity and accountability simply because that calling is from God. Now, let me get through one more part of this real quickly. I think it's very important we understand what verses 2 and 3 say. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourselves united. Thank you. United in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace. Let's real quickly look at what it means to belong. If our corporate calling has to do with belonging, what does it mean to belong? Let me give you five real quick things. The first thing is this. Belonging means treating others with absolute respect. I was in kids' stuff this morning, and respect is their big word this month. All right, and everything's built around respect. But what does respect really mean? Let me give you a relatively simple definition for respect. I'm going to take you back to Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, he is recorded speaking what we now know as the what? The, you want to take a guess what it might be? Golden rule. I heard somebody, the golden rule. Jesus gives us the golden rule. Now, Jesus didn't say, now here's the golden rule, boys and girls, now follow it. We gave it the name, not him. But this is what he says in verse 12. He says, do for others what you would like them to do for you. This is a summary of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. Now, what is taught in the law and the prophets when Jesus spoke these words in the book of Matthew? What was he talking about? What we know today as the what? The Old Testament. That's what the law and the prophets was, and that's what it is even today. So he was saying, if you do this, do unto others just as you would have them to do unto you, you're going to be doing everything. If you can just live that out consistently, then you'll be following all the codes of the law that were ever developed, that I ever gave the Jews to live by. That's a pretty big statement, isn't it? That is what it means to have respect. That's what it means to give respect, to treat others as you would want to be treated. Now, but what if somebody treats me ugly? Then all bets are off, right? I'm no longer obligated to the golden rule if they don't follow the golden rule, right? Now, let's face it. That's a stupid argument, isn't it? Point number two, we also make that argument, don't we? We do. Because they only deserve, I'm going to give them what they deserve. Well, you know what? The whole gospel is built around the fact that Jesus chose not to give us what we deserve. And so the very reality of who we are is to be, we're to mirror Christ, and we're not to give others what they deserve, rather, but what Jesus says we're to do. The golden rule is a great rule of thumb for this whole thing about respect. Here's the second thing we need to do. In this passage, he says, be humble and gentle, be patient, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Here's the second thing we need to do, understand about belonging. Acknowledge your own flaws. Acknowledge them. Make a list of them. Put it on a piece of paper and write real, real, real small so we can get them all on there, all right? And hang one over your visor so that every time you pull it down, you can see them. Put one in your billfold so that every time you open it up to show pictures of your family or get some money out, you see your list of flaws. I would be too, but we're never going to conquer them until we know what they are, until we take an inventory, until we list them. And so let's do that, and let's pray over them and say, God, help me to deal with this. Here's the other thing I want us to understand, the third thing we need to do. We need to be anticipating imperfection from other people. That's what he means when he says, let's make allowance. Here's the point. I need to anticipate, and let me pick someone here who I know has very few, if any, flaws at all. All right, none. My mother-in-law is a great example, okay? Let's check Ms. Simmons. And let's say that as perfect as she is, I know somewhere in there she's got to have something that's a flaw, right? Something. I don't know what it is yet, but maybe one day. I got to anticipate that it's there. I got to understand that it's there. I got to understand that at some point in time, it might rear its ugly head to bite me, right? Now, that's the third thing. I got to anticipate imperfection from other people. That's what it means to make allowance for others. Now, that doesn't give us license to go around using our imperfections. Why? Because remember, a life of integrity is what? It's all about living a life of Christ-likeness, even when nobody's around to see it. Here's the fourth thing we got to understand. We've got to expect other people's imperfections to impact us. I've got to expect it to happen. That is why Paul had to say, make allowance for others' faults. I'm going to tick you off sometimes. You're going to tick me off. That person you said, I need you too. Chances are at some point in time in your life, you're going to tick them off. But you know what? That still doesn't mean that you don't need them. We got to make allowances for each other's faults. How do we do this? How do we do this? You know what? Many of us, we just get irritated, don't we? We just kind of want to walk away sometimes. But respect and belonging means treating each other with the golden rule. I'm going to pick this up next week where we are now. I'm just going to kind of close out with this. Because I think this whole thing about belonging is so... And don't stop listening, all right, just because I told you that. I didn't give you a license to do that. I said I'm not going to go over another point, all right? When we used to do those green binders, y'all remember that? I used to hate it when everybody would, you know, they would do their clip them all at the same time. We got binders. We need us to bring those things back, all right? So, Jamie, let's get some binders out here next week and get them up for sale because I loved it. It was you remember that, Mark? It was always a sense of finality when everybody would clip their binders, you know, and they put them in there. It was really good. It was like, we can go home now and make it to the restaurant. But here's the point. This thing about belonging is so critical. But if we're going to belong, if we're going to fulfill our corporate calling, this common thing that we have on our lives, we got to understand how to accept each other for who we are. We got to understand how to live a life of integrity and how to live a life of accountability ourselves. And you know what that does? When we do that, that minimizes the effect of our imperfections. All right? That's the first responsibility we have. Now, when we're all trying to minimize the effects of our imperfections, it's going to be a whole lot easier for us to anticipate the effects of those imperfections from each other. Does that make sense? Because then I know, if I know somebody's working on it, it's going to be a whole lot easier for me to accept it. And if I know that I'm working on something, it's going to be a whole lot easier for me to go to that person, you know, and say, you know, Diane, I'm really sorry I did that. I screwed up. I'm working on this. And if Diane knows that with me, chances are, how's she going to respond? But it's okay. No problem. No problem at all. You know, and that's the body of Christ. That's what belonging is all about. You know, it's more than just signing a membership covenant or a partnership covenant, which is what we're going to be talking about. It's more about living a life in which we truly can belong together and we can truly love each other. The question that God has for us is, are we going to live into that part of the calling? We're going to be talking about that and the unique part of the calling in the next couple of weeks. Let's pray. Father, God, our time has been short, but it's been packed. Lord, you've challenged us with a lot of things today. So, Father, I ask you now just to take our hearts and our lives and to use them. God, help us to learn what it means to fulfill this corporate calling, this common calling you've given us to belong together in this unique mechanism called the church. God, thank you that you've given it to us. Help us, Lord, to live in it and live through it. And God, as we begin to explore our unique calling a little bit later, as with regard to what Paul said about it, God, help us to see clearly what you want out of us for our lives. Help us to learn how to live lives of absolute integrity and accountability in all that we do. For it's in the precious name of your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Hey, thanks for being here today. Thanks so many of you for signing up for stuff and everything. That's great. We had a lot of people do that in the first service as well. God bless. Have a wonderful week. We had 50 folks at our Tuesday night class. If you want to join us, come on out. And don't forget to drop your Integrity Connection cards along with your offerings and your tithes in the boxes in the back as you leave. God bless. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye. I was blind.